Also, just thank Miss Sim for singing. That's wonderful. And just several that are here tonight. Thanksgiving, a couple of days away. Man, just being in prayer for each other as we travel. Looking forward to a good week. It's good to have Brother Stone. I enjoyed being down there in August for their one-year anniversary, and what a blessing it was to see their church and get to meet their folks. And I'm telling you, it was there was a major difference between the time I was there then and the previous time I was there. Just felt just like church. I mean, it did. Just amazing, good people. A couple of men I've been praying for that he's still working on that were lost, that were there when I was preaching, and just a blessing. And so we're so looking forward. Brother Stone, come on, preach for us. And my friend.
Amen, brother. Love you, preacher. Thank you. Those men were there Sunday, too. And they're still lost. Y'all pray for John and Michael. We want to see them saved. It's different at our church. I tell you, we appreciate it. I do things a little different. Look, I've been in churches, and I've pastored churches where we didn't clap, and then I've pastored churches where we did clap. And now we do. And I don't mind it. I can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter to me. And, you know, when if folks get carried away, I tell them, well, you know, we clap to encourage the person singing or playing, but all the glory goes to God. Amen. So when they get up and start bowing after they get done, the clapping's over. So far, she hadn't done that. So we have a good time, though, and we praise the Lord for the church that He's given us, the folks that have come our way. And I was telling folks who have asked us how it's going, well, you know, it's a church plant, and we're just barely into the second year of it. And so as with every church that we've started, it's always a few steps forward, a few steps back, sometimes a few steps forward and a lot of steps back. It's just the way it is. It's the nature of the beast for the first couple, 3 years. It'll be that way. And but God has been so good to us and given us a good group, a good foundation that we can begin building on. You know, they do come and go. And I got one guy in there who's, boy, he's my amener. I've got one guy, Victor. You met Victor. He's my amener. He'll amen and hallelujah and shout. And I thought he was going to get too carried away last week. And I thought, no, you can't. I enjoyed it. But God's given us a good group of folks. He really has. And I don't know what all I can say about it. This past week, and I'll give you the number just for the sake of giving you the number. Not that that's, you know, what we strive for every week, but it's an indicator, you know, of where we've been, where we're going, where we're at. And so we do keep up with it. This Sunday, I asked my wife when we got home, I said, well, look back at last year and see how many we had on this particular day. 21 last year, and this year 41. So we praise the Lord for that. And there was no promotion. I'm not a gimmick kind of guy. You know, I'm just not. And so that was just the Lord blessing and honoring our labors and efforts and knocking doors and trying to win people to Christ. And so it's coming along. That's all I can really say. And as far as finances, again, you know, the Lord is just every single month, it seems like, boy, we go from however much we need to pay the bills to zero. I mean, it comes in just like that. We don't have any leftover, and we have been very fortunate to be able to pick up one missionary. And I don't know if we're live streaming this. I won't say his name. Okay, so it's a, you know, missionary to a closed country, so I just won't say the name, but you support him. And so he came, and he was a blessing to our folks. It was the first time many of them have ever seen a missionary. And they really fell in love with him, and so we voted to take him on for support. And we're going to start that the first of the year. And so that's our first missionary. And I'm excited to continue. I hope, you know, we'll have... I've done it where I've gone, you know, off balance. And the first year of the church, I said, man, we got to get as many missionaries as we can possibly get. And, man, we had so many missionaries, we couldn't even pay the bills. And then we ended up having to cut the missionaries. Well, that's kind of silly. Hopefully we've gained a little wisdom along the way. And we're going to try to keep that in balance as we go along. I would like to say it's such a blessing to see you guys tonight, and so many. I was so worried when I came in. I told my wife, I said, "Man, I'm afraid I'm not even going to remember everybody's names. They're all going to know us." But you know what? I didn't stutter over anybody yet. Praise the Lord for all of you. Praise the Lord. It's good to see you. So good to see good friends. And if I didn't get a chance to shake your hand on the way in, I hope I can on the way out. I whispered to my wife a few minutes ago, I said, look, honey, Micah's feet touched the ground. He's growing. He's got they're touching the floor. Amen. He got some height on him over the last year. That's good, Micah. Amen. Then I read about the football pro over there. Good job, Micah. I mean, Joshua. Good job, Joshua. And I have to say hello to my good friend, Brother David Flores here. Y'all don't know Brother David. This is his first time here. I didn't even know he was going to come, but Brother David is down from down in South Fort Worth. He's a member of Brother Brian Fisher's church down there, and he came up to just to see us, and yeah. Praise the Lord for that. I knew Brother David when he was just a sorry, no good, lost. I'm not kidding. He knows it, because we were all there at one time, a lost, sorry, no good, hell-bound sinner. Amen. And I watched God save him and transform his life. Amen. Changed his life. And he's been just rock steady now for years. Appreciate you, Brother David. Good to see you. Glad that you're here. Well, I hope that you'll continue to keep praying for the Coastline Baptist Church. It's a blessing there. I really, it's a blessing and a challenge. And, you know, it's like 75% Hispanic down there, and they all want to feed us all the time, so I can't ever seem to lose any weight. So if y'all can get past the few pounds I've put on, if you look, just quit, you know, go ahead. If you want to say something, say it now so you can hear the preaching. Go ahead. Just get it out. Amen. I got refried beans and tortillas chasing me in my sleep, brother. I love it. I love it. Amen. I do. It's absolutely my favorite food. I love it. It may not love me, but every time they ask me, do I want some, I say, I'm allergic. It makes me swell. But it doesn't stop me, obviously. So, well, we praise the Lord. It's a blessing being there. And I tell you what, I've said this 100 times, I know, and I'm going to keep on saying it. I can tell you that I was not prepared for the depth of Catholicism that we have encountered. Catholicism there is a culture. It is not a denomination. And that's, I wasn't prepared for the depth of it. And I'm still learning how to deal with people in the depth of that culture. Because it's not something where you can just walk up and convince them in, you know, 5 or 6 verses at the door. You're not going to erase a lifetime of Catholicism in 5 minutes at the doorstep. It's just not going to happen. I mean, God can do anything, but I hadn't been that privileged to get in on that yet. So we still have folks who are genuinely saved, have accepted Christ as their Savior, and then they come to the altar and pray, and they do the sign of the cross before they get up, and they don't fall down on the altar like we do. They pray, sit straight up. But it's Catholic. You know, it's just the Catholicism in them. And I had one guy on Anniversary Sunday. I don't know if I told you this. On the Anniversary Sunday, we were going to baptize. And one of the guys who is lost, he came that Sunday because his wife and kids were getting baptized. And he said, where do you baptize? And I showed him our trough. We've got it bordered off. And I showed him our stock tank. Had a piece of plywood over it. He opened it up, and he started to put his hand in it, and he stopped. He said, is that holy water? He was serious. Is that holy water? And I whisked my hand down there. I said, no, man, it's just tap water. Just tap water. Just get down in there. I said, it'll get the job done. Amen. I'm telling you, it's deep. I'm telling you, it's deep there. So y'all pray for us. I'm serious. Pray that God will help us to break through the strongholds of Catholicism in the life of those folks. It's paganism is what it is. It's paganism and it's superstition. And it's rooted deep in their heart and in their lives, in their soul. And so we are trying our best to break through that. If you'll open your Bibles then to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to preach to you what I tried to preach on Sunday morning. It's Thanksgiving and I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful for what God has given us. And I told our folks, I knew I wasn't going to get to finish the message there because all the food was sitting out on the tables in the back of the room. We don't have a big fellowship hall, and so all the food's sitting out. And not only did I lose them about 15 minutes into it, I lost me 15 minutes into it. I kept smelling the turkey and all that good food, and oh my goodness. So I never got halfway through point one last week. So I'm going to try to preach it, and if we get through it, we get through it. And one, I don't see a clock in here anymore. I don't see a clock in here. We got plenty of time. We'll just quit when it's time. Amen. I don't think I can finish it anyway. There's a lot here. And the reason there's a lot here is because I have so much to be thankful for. God has been so good to us. I mean, more than we deserve. He's been so good. You know, we hear a lot about the problems that America's having, and a lot of times we write that off to ingratitude. The ingratitude of God's people, the ingratitude of America in general toward God, and that may be true. In fact, I know it's true. There's no doubt in my mind it's true. However, I believe there's still a lot of people that are very grateful to God, and I believe that the majority of those people are Christians. And if there's anybody that ought to be grateful to God, it ought to be Christians.
Amen.
Amen. We're saved tonight. Amen. We're going to make heaven, and we're going to miss hell. So we've got a lot to be grateful for. And if all I ever got out of getting saved was saved, then it's definitely more than I deserve. And I'd be happy. I mean, I really would. If that's all I ever got, knowing that at the end, when this is all said and done, that I'm going to go to heaven, man, I can still shout. I can still shout over that. And I plan to. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. We'll ask God to bless it. In Paul, the Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The spiritual blessings. I can go on and on and on about all the physical blessings. And the fact is, we don't even give God enough credit for those. Amen. How many of us got up this morning and said, Lord, thank you that I can see? How many of us got up and said, thank you that I can actually put my feet on the ground and walk? How many of us actually said that? We don't give God near enough credit even for the physical blessings. But I want to focus this evening on the spiritual blessings, because I know I don't thank Him enough for those. And so that's all. It's Thanksgiving, right? And so I just want to thank God tonight. That's all. And I hope that you'll join me. I hope you'll help me, join me to thank God for these spiritual blessings. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You again for the things that You've given us. The things that You've given us materially, and the things that You've given us physically, monetarily. But Lord, more than anything, thank You for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. There's absolutely no way that I'll be able to do this verse or this topic justice. And Lord, I'm just going to hit a few things that I'm so grateful for. And I pray that You'd help me by filling me with Your Spirit. I pray that You'd fill us in the pews with Your Spirit as well, that as recipients of Your Word, we might be able to receive exactly what You have for us. Help us, Lord, to offer up an attitude of gratitude to You for these things. And may we be reminded, especially at this time of the year, how blessed we are in Christ Jesus. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen and amen. I am grateful, and how can I leave off anything? If I was going to say anything at all, if I could only say one, what would it be? Salvation. Amen. I'm so glad I'm saved. Aren't you glad you saved this evening? Now, if you're not saved this evening, you wonder what I'm talking about. I want to talk with you after the service. But I'm telling you, I'm so glad that I'm saved. And if I had any verse, there's a ton of verses that I could go to, hundreds of them that we can go to, thousands if we wanted to actually look at verses regarding our salvation. But I really, as I was looking at this, I have one that I really want to look at tonight for just a few minutes before we get into the second point. If I get to the second point, I want to look at one verse, because it really gives me a full picture. I mean, a panoramic view of what salvation really is. I mean, past, present, and future. Look with me in Romans chapter 5. I really want you to turn there. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn there. If you're looking at an e-Bible, go ahead and turn there in your e-Bible. I'm there. You know, I mean, I didn't bring my e-Bible, but I know people do. And so, you know, we're at that age. If you brought it, use it. Amen. Amen. It's still the Word of God. Romans chapter 5. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Boy, I like that. That's how I'm trying to train our folks to say amen. And they do have to be trained to say amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 10. Look what the Bible says. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. I love that verse because it encompasses everything about salvation that I really need to know. This may be old hat to some of y'all, but I just can't get over it. I mean, no matter how long I've been saved, and I'm sure that even on into the years, God grants me more years, I'm still going to get excited about the fact that I am saved in the past, the present, and in the future. And this encompasses all of that. I love this verse. Look what he says. He says, when we were enemies. By the way, let me just stop right there. When we were enemies. I thank God that He didn't ask me to turn over a new leaf. He didn't ask me to straighten up everything. He didn't ask me to quit all the garbage that I was doing and tell me, all right, James, you got to fly right before you can fly up. Amen. He just said, come to me as you are, and I'll turn you into what I want you to be. And I was an enemy of the cross, and even as an enemy of the cross, I was reconciled to God. He reconciled me. He says we were reconciled to God. Reconciled. Now I want you to notice that word reconciled, it means to settle, to make right, to put back into harmony, to harmonize with God. I'm in harmony with God now. I wasn't before, but I am now. And I want you to notice here that this is in the past tense. We were reconciled. And I'm going to throw a word out there, and I know, look, you guys are schooled. Brother Crawford's a theologian, and you guys get good disciples. You're discipled well. And I have to explain a lot of this stuff to our folks because they've never heard these words. And I literally had to take my time and tell them there are three words: justification, sanctification, and glorification. They never heard that. And so we take the time to explain it. Now, you've probably heard that, but humor me. Justification, we see, when we talk about we were enemies, but we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. We were reconciled. That speaks of justification. That's past tense. We were saved from the penalty of sin. Past tense. We were saved from the penalty of sin. And that's nothing to laugh about. That's nothing to slight. That is a very serious thing that we were saved from. Amen? You know, God saved us, what can I say? From Himself. From the wrath of God. God saved us from the wrath of God. I'm so glad that I don't have to suffer the consequences, the penalty of my sin anymore. I'm saved from the penalty of sin. The Word of God says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is what? Death. Death. Now, let me ask you, did Adam die as soon as he partook of the fruit? Because God said, in the day that you take thereof, you shall surely die. Did he die? Well, he began to die and he ushered death in, didn't he? But he didn't physically fall apart right then. He didn't physically fall down and get put in the grave. But he began to die. But even more importantly, he died spiritually. He died spiritually. And as we read, the Bible tells us that there is a second death. And I'm not going to go into all the verses. I don't even have them all written down. But I want to throw it out there just in case you haven't heard this. I tell our people and they look at me like a calf looking at Newgate. I'm telling you, I mean with eyes wide open when I said there is such a thing as a second death. There are two deaths. You know there are people that do not know that. They have never heard that. They're not taught that in some areas of religion. They are told that there's only one death. And once they come into that death, then there's this thing called purgatory. And if you're there and you got enough people on the outside, they can pray you through or pay you through. But I'm here to tell them that there is no such thing as purgatory. There is a second death. And the Bible tells us that second death is when we die. And the Bible tells in Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. When we go out knocking doors and I ask people, I'd show them Hebrews chapter 10 or Hebrews chapter 9 where the Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And there are people who don't even step inside of a church, never read a Bible. And I ask them, well, if the body dies, where does it go when you put it in the grave? They say, well, it decomposes. Eventually it just rots away. I say, well, then what goes to judgment? And you know, every single person I've ever asked that question to, and I mean, there might have been one out of the hundreds, maybe thousands that I've asked that question to. There might have been one, maybe two, who didn't really have the right answer. But I'm telling you, 99.99% of the time, they're going to say, whether they've never been in church or not, or ever picked up a Bible, they're going to say, our soul, my spirit. Why do they say that? Because they know they're an eternal being. They know they are. Having never been to church, having never read a Bible, they know they have a soul. And it's an amazing thing. And so I show them that the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And then I take them over into the book of Revelation, where we are told about the second death, how that hell, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I try to tell folks, you don't spend eternity in hell, you spend it in the lake of fire. And I'm so glad that I'm going to miss that. I wish there was a doctrine that I never had to preach on. If there was one doctrine I never had to preach on, it'd be hell. I wish I didn't have to. And I don't make a habit of it every single week, and sometimes I think we ought to do it every week. But the fact is, it is real. Amen? It is. I mean, the Bible tells us that it's a place where the fire is never put out, where the thirst is never quenched, where the worm dieth not, where it's outer darkness and a bottomless pit, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And probably one of the worst things about it is that there's going to be the element of remembrance. We're going to be able to remember every opportunity that we ever had to accept Jesus Christ and to live for Jesus Christ, and we rejected Him. We're going to have that knowledge even in the lake of fire. And that's probably going to be one of the worst outside of the fact that you separated from God for eternity. We're going to have the capability of remembering that we rejected Him. And I'm just here to tell you, I have to stop and think about that every now and then. I love to think about heaven. And sometimes when my mind's not doing right, you know, when our mind gets wandering and we're not walking in the Spirit like we ought to be, and our mind takes a break and starts going places where it ought not to go, I try very hard to arrest my mind and ask God, Lord, help me to think on things that are right and things that are lovely and things that are pure, things that are of good report. I try my best to do that. And sometimes I get to thinking on heaven. I get to thinking about the heavenly host and worshiping God and singing holy, holy all the time, wondering what my mansion's going to look like in heaven. I do. I get to thinking about those things. But every now and then, God will arrest my heart and He'll have me to think about hell. He'll have me think about hell. And sometimes that's even a better motivator than heaven to do right. And I'm so glad and I'm so grateful that I'm not going to hell when I die. I'm so glad that I got saved April the 18th, 1984. Amen. Almost 30 years ago, I got saved. Saved. Amen. That's a good song. Saved. 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 I like the way you dive in there on the end of that one. Amen. Saved. That's a good song. I love singing songs about getting saved. Hallelujah. Man, y'all, act like you're in church tonight. Say amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord. That's something to give God praise about. Look, we're cutting that turkey on Thursday. You can pray for the Cowboys if you want to. I mean, fine, I hope they win too, but I ain't going to pray for them. But I am going to thank God that I'm saved. I'm going to thank God. And you know what? I'm going to thank God that I'm saved. Even because one of the reasons we're going to do it is because we're going to have a family that's all lost there. We want them to know that being saved is worth it. That being saved is something to praise God about. I'm so glad that I'm saved. Amen. Now that first word, it's talking about justification. That's past tense. We were saved from the penalty of our sin. But that second part, he says, being reconciled, that's present tense. Being reconciled, and that talks about sanctification. We're being saved from the power of sin. We were saved from the penalty of sin, but we're being saved from the power of sin. Isn't that wonderful? I thank God that, it's all right. It's not okay, but it's normal if I fall and trip and stumble every now and then over my stupidity. It's all right because I'm being saved from the power of sin. He didn't say, you were saved from the power. I'm being saved from the power of sin. The wonderful thing about living for the Lord is that I have more strength now than I did when I first got saved. But I'm not there yet. I've not arrived. Amen. I've not arrived. How many of you reached perfection tonight? I just want to go sit next to you. How many of us have reached perfection? How many of, all right, let me do it this way. How many have blown it this week already? Thank you. Thought I was alone. Let me do it. How many of you blown it today? Whew. Isn't it good to know that we're being reconciled? Being reconciled. I'm being saved from the power of sin. Boy, I'm telling you, there was a day when I really didn't have much power over sin. There was a day when I really didn't know how to say no to stuff. Didn't want to say no to stuff. And there was a day when my old mouth was a porta can. Literally, people call me porta can mouth. It was just terrible. I cussed like a sailor, cussed like a trucker. Amen. I never gave it a second thought. But man, immediately, as soon as I got saved, and I mean immediately, when I got saved, I trusted Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit of God began to work in me, and I was driving down to Loop 610 in Houston, Texas, and somebody cut me off, and I went, "You blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety-blankety- upside the head, and immediately I grabbed my mouth and said, "Oh Lord, I'm so sorry." Being saved. I'm being saved from the power of sin. But thank God, you know, 30 years down the road, I don't have those problems anymore. Now it's gluttony and... Did I say that? I didn't just say that, did I? Okay, let me do another one. Gossip. Being saved from the power of sin. What's another one? Anger. Temper, short-tempered. No, this is going to be an encouragement, man. I'm going to quit. Let's keep on going here. Besides that, I'm getting under conviction. Sanctification. I'm so glad I'm saved. Now notice this. He said not only being reconciled, but look at that last portion there. He said you shall be saved. Shall be saved. Future tense. I'm telling you, this one verse encompasses salvation in its fullest sense. Past, present, and future. He says, I shall be saved. And that brings in that word glorification. I shall be saved from the presence of sin. I was saved from the penalty of sin. I'm being saved from the power of sin. But I'm telling you, when I step foot in heaven, I shall be saved from the presence of sin. Amen. I'm going to a place where there'll be no more sin. I don't have to worry about messing up anymore. I don't have to worry about having to trip over myself and pick myself back up and coming down to the altar and say, "Well, Lord, it's me again. You know what I'm here for." Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Don't y'all ever get tired of that? I do. I get tired of coming to the altar for the same old stupid thing. But thank God, one of these days, I'm going to be saved from the presence of sin. No more sin. Walk in a place that's pristine where, hey, Jesus will be the light of that place. No need of the sun, no need of the moon, no stars, nothing like that. Jesus, the Lamb, is going to be the light thereof. Man, and you know, if the light of God is going to light up the house, it's because it's purity. It's in pure holiness. There'll be no sin there. Praise God. Can I just say thank you, Lord? Would you just say thank you, Lord? Come on. Thank you, Lord. It's all right. We can say it tonight. It's all right. We're Baptists. I know it says Baptist out yonder, but let's just say that together. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. I am grateful, aren't you? I am grateful. And it's something we ought to stop and think about every now and then. Well, I got a few more minutes. I'm going to go ahead and do this one. Here's another one too. And you know, I did mention Baptists, and this isn't a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine, but it's eternal security, and it seems to be distinctive of Baptists. I haven't met a whole lot of other denominations that actually believe this. I'm not saying that we have a monopoly on truth, but I am saying I haven't met very many denominations who believe in eternal security of the believer. I do. I believe the Bible teaches once saved, always saved.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, that is something to shout about. Because if I had a salvation that I thought I could lose by the time I got across the street, I don't think I'd want to tell anybody about it. I mean, it'd just be a hard thing to sell, wouldn't it? It'd be a hard sale. Well, what if I sin? Well, you'll have to do this all over again. I tell this to folks, and to me it makes sense. I don't know if people get it or not, but to me it makes sense. And maybe this is just one of those Tennessee things, I reckon. I don't know, but... you know, when Jesus died, He died, what, 2,000 years ago? All of my sins 2,000 years ago were yet future. All of them. And so, doesn't it make sense then that when He died for me, He died for every sin that I would commit? I wasn't even born. I wasn't even born yet, but yet all my sins were forgiven. And so, why is it that many times people think, well, I'm saved, and Jesus forgives me up until this certain point? No, no, no. He died 2,000 years ago. All your sins were yet future. To me, that makes perfect sense. I mean, it may not sound intelligent, but it does make a lot of sense to me.
Amen.
I never have bragged about being real intelligent. I mean, I think that I'm somewhat intelligent, but I do try to keep the cookies down on the shelf where the kids can get them. And that seems to me like that's where they're at. I'm so glad I'm saved eternally. I'm so glad that I don't have to worry about, turning God on, turning God off. I need salvation today, salvation tomorrow. I'm glad for eternal security of the believer. The Bible tells us in Revelation 1, verse 4 and 5. Now, if you want to turn somewhere, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8, because we're going to go there in just a minute. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. I'm going to go there in a minute, because that is actually my favorite passage regarding this subject. But I want to read a couple before we get there. He says in Revelation 1, verse 4 and 5, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Here it is. Here's the key to that verse. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Amen. It's a done deal. He shed His blood on Calvary's cross, and in doing so, He washed my sins away. They're done. It's a done deal. Eternal security. It's over. And the Word of God tells us that if we try to do that over again, if we try to renew Him, renew that to Him, if we try to get him, put Him on the cross again to forgive us a second time, then we bring Him to an open chain. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. I like 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 5, too. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, He hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. How in the world can people read the Bible and come away not believing eternal security? Reserved in heaven for you. He said that fadeth not away. How do you get anything other than eternal security out of that, Brother John? I just don't get it. Here's the next part. Who are kept by the power of God? Who are kept by the power of Brother Wiggins? Well, I know I'm going to hell. Right? That's not what it says. Who are kept by the power of God. By the power of God. Through faith unto salvation. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, Romans chapter 7 is absolutely my favorite portion of Scripture on this. I may not get past this one just because I tell you, every time I read this, I have a fit and fall in it. I mean, I just love it. It's not a conventional verse that people use regarding eternal security, but it's the one that I use all the time. I love it. Look what he says in Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Now, you have to take it in context, because a lot of times this is taken out of context. He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. All right, so he's got a parenthetical there that helps you to understand that he's doing something here. He says, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. For if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. Now, stop right there and look at me just for a minute. Because when we get to the next part, he's going to show you that what he just said, he was using as an example for what he's about to say. So many people get hung up on that first little portion. Listen, I ain't for divorce. The fact is, it happens. It may have happened in your life. What I see the Word of God says is, if it happened to you, then you continue to serve God where you are. And as I read the Word of God, the principle that I draw from the Bible is, God is not near as interested in where you were as He is in the direction you are headed. And so serve God in whatever capacity you're in right now. Just serve Him and praise Him and live for Him. Amen? No matter what it is. We know, hey, it is what it is. And life is what it is. And so I want you to understand, don't get hung up on those first couple of verses. So notice what he says. It's an illustration to make a point in the next verse. He says, So then. All right? So now that I've said that, let's go back and read those first two verses so that we can get a true picture of what he's about to show us. All right? He says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man. The law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath no husband is bound by the law. The woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, don't miss this, folks. If the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. Now, here's the point. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another, to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law.
Amen.
By the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. Are we a part of the bride or not? We are a part of the bride. So if I'm a part of the bride, who's the groom? Now, I wasn't a part of the bride before I got saved. So that means I was married to the law. I was bound by the law. But when I put my faith in Christ, I died in Christ. And the Bible tells us that when I accepted Him as my Savior, I was married to another. He's the groom, I'm the bride. Now look at the next part. Even to Him who is raised from the dead. Oh, my soul, that's key. Do you see what He just said? Even He who is raised from the dead. Now I'll show you how important that is. Look with me in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1. Man, I'm telling you, if this don't light your fire, your wood's wet. If you can't shout over this, your shouter's broke. All those colloquialisms, whatever it is. Hey, if this don't get you excited, then you just need to be born again. Or maybe born again. I reckon. Look at what He says in Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 17. And when I saw Him, are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His hand upon me, His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. Here it is. I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, what does He say? I am alive forevermore. Now the Word of God, we just read that. If a woman or a bride, she's bound to her husband as long as he liveth. And we just heard that our husband just said, I am Him who was alive. I am alive and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. You know the only way you can lose your salvation if Jesus dies? Did He not just say, I am Him who I am alive forevermore? Amen. It's not up to me. It's not up to me. If I'm saved, amen, I'm a part of the bride, and my groom said he's going to live forever and forever and forever and forever, and the only way that I can ever lose my salvation, amen, if somebody say amen, is if the groom dies, and he's not going to die. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is this my water? It is now. Amen. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. Victor would be having a fit right now, wouldn't he? And he sits about right there. So it's on you. He'd be having a fit right now. Victor would be up there going, Amen, Pastor! Hallelujah! I love it. I do. I tell our folks we're a Baptist church. It's all right. Well, that was point two. At least I made it to point two today. I bet I have four or five more. But you know, let me just throw these at you. I won't even preach them. I'm just going to give you the topics here. I'm so grateful for our spiritual blessings. Most importantly, I'm saved and I can't lose my salvation. I can't lose it. I'm so excited about the fact that I'm saved eternally. Eternally, eternally, eternally. And I hope that if anybody ever causes you to doubt that, you now have some ammunition in your arsenal to help you fight back, contend for the faith, and stand strong on what you believe. Know what you believe and why you believe it. But I'm also thankful to God for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the fact that He convicts me of sin. I'm so grateful to know that when I mess up, the Holy Spirit still slaps me around, smacks me around, and gives me a spiritual spanking. That helps me to know that I've not calloused my conscience. I've not seared my conscience toward Him. I'm so glad that I can still get under conviction. Amen, Brother Russell. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit still thumps that old heart every time you do wrong? I'm so glad of that. That tells me that my Father still loves me, and of course He's going to always love me, but I've not hardened my heart toward Him. I'm so grateful for that. Now, He does so many things. He unites the body. He reveals truth from Scripture. The Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God. He strengthens the inner man. He does so much. And I'm grateful for the numerous promises in the Word of God. The perpetuity of the church. Man, I wish I had time to dwell on that. These are all sermons in and of themselves. The perpetuity of the church. I'm so grateful for His second coming. Amen. That's the blessed hope. It's our hope. That's the reason we can stand strong, because we know this world is not my home. Amen. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And God help us if we ever do start feeling at home in this world. It's all right to go out and try to build a nest egg for the winter years. It's all right. It's all right. But let's just don't drop anchor. Amen. Let's don't drop a tent stake so far down that the Holy Spirit can't pull them up when it's time to go. Amen. I'm so glad that He's coming and I'm coming with Him. There's two phases to the coming of the Lord. He's coming for His saints. Amen. And then He's coming with His saints. There are animals in heaven. A little girl asked me the other day in church, a few weeks ago, she said, "Are there animals in heaven, Pastor?" And they just lost their little dog. And she's just a little girl. How old is she? About 10? 9? 10 years old? She said, "Are there animals in heaven?" I said, "Well, sweetheart, I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says there are horses in heaven, and you're going to get to ride one." Amen. Big white eyes. I said, "Do you ever ride a horse?" She said, "No." I said, "You're going to." Amen. We're going to be on our big white horse. And we're going to come down from heaven. And the sky is going to bust open. And the Lord is going to come down. And we're going to follow Him. Amen. We're going to be on those horses. And I'm telling you, the liberals are going to be down there waving their flags. And we're going to come. Here I come on my big white horse. I'm going to run them right over. I hope Obama's in. I hope it happens quick. And Obama's still in office. Amen. I want to have a clear path to hit. I do, man. I do. Here they come. I'm going to ride a horse. I've ridden horses. I mean, we had horses in Tennessee. I got to ride them when I was a kid. And I liked horses. I think they're magnificent. And isn't it amazing that that's the only animal in heaven that we get to ride and we get to come back on a horse? Amen. Well, I'm excited about that. And I thank God for His second coming. I'm so grateful that we're going to come back with Him. And He's going to come back to make war against the armies of the earth. And I'm not going to have to do a thing. Just ride my horse and look good. That's all. Amen. They're going to gather at the Valley of Armageddon. And the devil's going to have quite a crowd, isn't he? He's going to have quite a crowd. And they're going to have the biggest arsenal you've ever seen in your life. And just about the time that they think they've got it all won, the Lord is going to open His mouth and He's going to smite the nations with the word of His mouth.
Amen.
With a sword. Right out of His mouth. He's going to speak. Hey, He spoke the world into existence.
Amen.
According to Colossians. Amen. And the Bible says, according to Colossians, that He upholds all things by the what? By the Word of His power. And He's going to tear it all apart with the Word. Amen. The Word of God. Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back to pour out His wrath. I said I wasn't going to preach these, didn't I? And then I'm thankful for the millennial reign. I mean, all of these are wonderful. All these are promises that He's given us in His Word. The millennial reign. The millennial reign of Christ. Woo, look at that. I'm just skipping through page after page after page. Man, I'm going to preach these one of these days. And let me just wind it on down with this, because it's 8 o'clock according to this clock right here. We get to spend eternity with God. We get to spend eternity with Him. Eternity. I've used this little illustration before. I've used it in the youth class and I've used it at our church. There's a little old dot on that wall right there. And I can see it. Y'all see it? How many of y'all trust me? Thank you. I got one that trusts me. Two. Y'all trust me? There's a little dot right there. I see it. I'm looking at it. You know that little dot? Let's pretend everything on that side of that little dot represents eternity past. Everything on that side of that dot represents eternity future. And youth department, what does that little dot represent? Okay, never mind. They didn't pay attention that day. Do you remember Russell? Right. Time. Time. That little dot represents time. You know, God created this thing called time. So that He could demonstrate His love for us. So that He could demonstrate who He is. This thing called time. And there's going to come a time when time will be no more.
Right.
And we cannot wrap our heads around that. We cannot even begin to think what that is. When I sing Amazing Grace, we sang it this Sunday. And I said, when we got down to that last verse, I said, folks, when it says, when we've been there 10,000 years, I said, just say forevermore. Because 10,000 years is a blink. When we get to heaven, 10,000 years is a blink. Amazing grace. Let's look at that last verse. Let's sing that last verse. When we've been there 10,000. Y'all not supposed to say 10,000 years. I wondered if you'd jump ahead of it. Let's do it again. When we've been there evermore, bright shining as the sun. Amen. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Isn't that good? Eternity with God. I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad that I'm saved eternally. I thank God for the Holy Spirit and all the promises that are in this book. Let us thank God this year for His spiritual blessings. Amen. Our Father, we love You this evening. We thank You for Your Word and the precious promises that it gives us. We thank You for the blessed hope that we have in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that You would strengthen and encourage us with this simple message. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Preacher.